Next up, Mark Toso from the MPCA.
All right. How is this for a loaded topic, huh? Well, it's not exactly my quote, though. This is from Dr. John Wilson, who used to be with the EPA Office of Research and Development, a guy a lot smarter than me. Start out here with a little disclaimer. I'm representing myself here today. This not with the PCA. Just want to make sure everybody's clear on that. But feel free to agree with me if you want. So I've been in this field for 30 years, working with the MPCA for 25 years. I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of scary things. I've seen a lot of things that tend to make one cynical, which is probably why I'm giving this talk today. This isn't really new, though. A colleague of mine, Jim Pinito, who's sitting right back there, actually wrote this editorial 30 years ago. And the question is, have you learned anything from it? Has anything changed? I don't think so. We're still putting in wells. Skip ahead a little bit here. So this is a kind of a perfect example. This map could have been from 30 years ago, but it's actually from last week. This is a typical PRP site. There's three monitoring wells here, and that's a contour map of benzene concentrations. Now you gotta ask, how accurate is that map? How accurate could the map possibly be with only three data points? But this is the state of science today. This is what I have to look at to do my job, to make decisions. So kind of one of the concepts here that I hope some of the younger people here understand is that groundwater flow and contaminant transport are two entirely different things. Something that took me a long time to figure out. You start talking groundwater velocity, which you all like to talk about. Well, groundwater velocity and contaminant velocity are two different things. And it's kind of funny, and I read reports, I hear, you know, I'll see people talk about, okay, there's like 5, 10, 20 feet of clay. It's, you know, the aquifers protect, below is protected because we got this clay confining unit. A lot of times that stuff is actually quite porous. And you may not have a lot of groundwater flow through it, but you got contaminant flow through it, which is very important to understand. High-resolution site characterization methodology was something that's sort of new. It's our flying car, if you want to call it, for today. If you ever had a chance to look at some of the data from this and compare it to monitor well data, it's like looking at an HD TV. It's like all of a sudden you didn't know what you were missing until you actually get a chance to see it. But what they're actually finding is that, and this is a key point to know too, 90% of the dissolved phase contamination is flowing through 10% of the aquifer. So what are your monitoring wells really telling you? Where are your monitoring wells at? Something that's always fascinating me too is that groundwater data for us is everything. You know, we just get this data on a piece of paper and we're supposed to look at it and believe it's the gospel truth. But so why are the least experienced people at a lot of firms collecting this data? And push probe sampling too is something that was innovative. It's like, okay, well, we got all these temporary wells. Did you ever see somebody take a VOC sample using a tube and a check ball? It just drives me crazy when I see that. It just gives me shudders. It's like, that is totally inappropriate methodology. And there's some notes here from a recent field audit. And I'll try to say this as succinctly as possible. Some of the data that we're seeing collected in the field is pretty poor, and it's not getting any better. It's actually getting worse. This is the data that we have to rely on to make very important decisions. So I just want to point that out. However, even my own agency still uses concepts like, you know, evaluating groundwater risk using travel times based on simple things such as grain size analysis or even a pumping test. In my opinion, that is inaccurate. I'd say 100% of the time, but I have to leave a little bit of wiggle room in case somebody actually gets it right and just guesses right. And it kind of seems to me that, you know, the state of the industry today is like these investigations are becoming more of a commodity where it's sort of like, you know, you get what you pay for type of thing. And it's almost like if you just go out in the field and do the work, do the due diligence, you've done everything you need to do. But really, where's the science? So this is kind of my last slide, my whole summary of my entire career in a nutshell. A dirty monitoring well, I hate these terms, by the way. A dirty monitoring well tells you something. Your well's in the right place. You're intercepting the flow path of contaminant. A clean monitoring well doesn't mean anything. You could have it in the wrong spot. Somebody could have incorrectly sampled it. So my whole thought process is, do we even need wells in the first place? We've got millions of borings that we've done in this state over the year. We don't really need to do any additional borings to understand the geology. We just need to use the data we already have. But that's a whole other question altogether.